You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. Our conversation about what's taking place, our discussion about what's taking place in Russia and Ukraine globally, how it affects us and our European family, continues this hour and the next. You just heard from Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, IHR.org, one of our favorite guests and most frequently featured guests, Mark Weber. We'll continue it now this hour with Dr. Kevin McDonald in just a few minutes. He'll be with us at the top of the next segment. Paul Fromm, for the third time in 4 weeks, will be with us in the next hour as well. Paul sent me a text message asking when he gets a paycheck. He's up to co-host status now. Well, you can ask Keith Alexander about how that works. And Keith is with us right now. And Keith, well, a lot has changed since we were on the air together last week, my friend. Last week, we were, of course, continuing our discussion with Paul Fromm about what's going on in Canada. Interesting developments since then to now on that, and we'll touch on that with Paul in the next hour. But we also talked with Peter Brimelow last week about his lawsuits, a couple of which are pending before the United States Supreme Court, if they'll agree to hear them. And then we even talked about Ronnie Spector's death. Well, boy, we had to get totally serious tonight. And what's your take on what's going on? This is certainly, I think, I was born in 1980. This is the biggest event of my life. I think it could be, at least politically speaking.
It's the first time since World War II that Europeans have gone to war against one another, really in a full-scale war. You know, there have been some quelling of outbreaks like the Hungarian situation in 1956 and the Polish situation with Lech Walesa and people like this, but those were just demonstrations and official governmental responses to them. This is two governments making war on each other. And I've got some contacts over in Ukraine, and I can tell you, this is a real thing. They're bombing cities. They're, there's gunfire. There's fighting. But, of course, the Ukrainians don't have a chance, really, to win this thing. They could have a guerrilla war and turn the place into a war zone. But I don't really think that's going to happen. I don't think that Putin really wants to harm them. He just wants to take over their government. And he has a good reason to want to do that, because our CIA took the pro-Russian government that existed with a guy named, I think it's Janukowski, and replaced him with this Zelensky guy, who is a Jewish comedian and kind of like a host on a TV show. It's kind of like us having Stephen Colbert become the president of the United States, heaven forbid. But, our government, our CIA, our espionage agencies are all behind Ukraine on this, and not because they have any love for the Ukrainian people. I think the Ukrainian people see themselves like white Southerners do. They think that that they need to have their own nation so that they're not subject to being pushed around and bullied by a more vocal and arbitrary northern neighbor. But then that's not what is motivating our government to help them. Our government is trying to get all of these former Soviet socialist republics, that's what the USSR stood for, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And it really didn't matter in the Soviet era whether they were a separate nation or not, because they all spoke with one voice, and that voice was dictated by Moscow. But in 1991, when the Soviet Union fell, that's when our foreign policy people were telling Gorbachev that they were not going to expand NATO into former Warsaw Pact nations. And now, the Warsaw Pact was the Russian equivalent of NATO. That's the nations in Eastern Europe that were under communism at the time, and they were the Warsaw Pact was like their version of NATO. And we gave them that guarantee, and Gorbachev relied on it. Then in the later 90s, we started adding some of those former Warsaw Pact nations to NATO. And the Russians complained and said, you promised you wouldn't do that. And it sounds like a couple of kids on the playground, but the United States response was, and I kid you not, well, you didn't get it in writing. You know, in other words, we reserve the right to lie to you unless you get something in writing for us. I guess the next thing would be to say, Jack, don't trade back or something. But but see, that's what's happened over there. And the United States wants to keep encroaching on these NATO allies. And Putin made it very plain from the very beginning what he wanted. He said he wasn't going to invade if he could get a written guarantee that Ukraine would not be allowed to join NATO. Well, Blinken or whatever, you know, like winking, blinking, and nod in the Sandman tale, said that's not even on the table. You know, it's open to people to apply and whatnot. Well, they wouldn't address his concern, so they basically left him with no alternative but to do what he did. Of course, there's been a lot of speculation, and Trump has fueled it too, that if he were in the presidency now, this would never have gotten to this point. And Trump, I think, is trying to base it on the fact that he's tougher and more bellicose than Biden. Biden has no credibility. In fact, Biden told everybody from the very beginning he wasn't going to commit to U.S. troops. But I think that it probably wouldn't have happened because Trump is a better negotiator than Biden. I don't think Biden, can start his, drive his car and dress himself without help now. But on the other hand, Trump does have all of his faculties, and he's been a big businessman, and he had to make deals work with people that seem to be at diametrically opposed positions. And he has experience doing that, and I think they probably would have worked something out. I think that the left is just so doctrinaire. You know, they think they're the smartest people in the room all the time, and it's their way or the highway, and there's no real negotiating with a liberal foreign policy apparatus like the one that the Biden administration has now. And it's unfortunate because people are being killed over there, and a lot of property is being destroyed. And it's really a shame, and people are really concerned. You know, a lot of people want to get out of the country, and I can understand why. And we just can't afford to have an impaired president like Joe Biden leading the country in these type of perilous times.
Hold on right there. We need somebody more serious than Trump as well, to be honest with you. We need you know what we need, folks. Come on, do I have to say it? We got to take a break. Wanted to give Keith the segment there to say his piece. We're going to bring Kevin McDonald on to join the conversation next.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Joining now in the conversation is the one and only Dr. Kevin McDonald, our good friend and another regularly featured guest. He's the former professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, the author of several books, including his most recent, Cultural Insurrections and Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition. He is the editor of the OccidentalObserver.net and the Occidental Quarterly Print Journal. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, great to be here, James.
Well, you have had some great takes on social media this week, my friend. And so you, along with Mark Weber, were the two guests that I thought we really needed to have tonight. Let's just go ahead and you take it away, your reaction and response and observations to what we've seen in the East this week.
Yeah. Well, I've been very impressed, for one thing, with Jaron Mearsheimer. Videos. He's a professor of foreign relations at the University of Chicago, and he's the author of the Israel Lobby. So the guy is clued in, and he's not afraid to say things that are not in tune with the establishment. And in one of his videos, he really ridicules the foreign policy establishment. And he makes the point that, the West extremely aggressive towards Russia for at least really since the fall of the Soviet Union, and for example, in this, he's got a video that was posted very recently, just on the most recent crisis here. He pointed out that in 2008, NATO declared that Ukraine would be in NATO. Russians were furious about that. They've been furious ever since 1991, whenever the topic of NATO expansion comes up. In 2014, you have the Maidan, sort of revolution, the so-called color revolution. This was totally a neocon thing. CIA was involved. These NGOs were involved. And of course, Russia responded by seizing Crimea. And there was a civil war in Ukraine because of the eastern part of Ukraine is Russian speaking and very close to Russia. Points out that Trump and now Biden have been arming Ukraine, essentially making a de facto NATO member. So as this is happening, Russia is getting more and more nervous. And then there have been some sort of incursions by military vessels in the Black Sea and elsewhere, the Pacific, in Russian territorial waters, and they just feel that they are under siege. And so it's not surprising that at some point Putin would say, enough, I can't keep doing this. I think that is really the background there. Pappy King, as I also been posting on what's happened since 1991 is surrounding Russia with his, with these states, including Poland, the Baltic states, Hungary, all these states joined the EU and NATO, and it's really seen as threatening to Russia. And as Mearsheimer points out at one point, you can't, the distinction between offensive and defensive weapons is sort of a mirage. It doesn't really exist. So basically what you have to ask, and this is not Mearsheimer anymore, but you have to ask why the Allies hate Russia so much. And I think the biggest reason is Russia's role in the Middle East, that that they have supported Iran, they have supported Syria. And in fact, in Syria, Putin's intervention was critical to keeping Assad in power. And of course, the Israel lobby and the neocons, and of course, the Israel lobby is far more than the neocons. And both parties are full of neocons. But so what's happened is that in Iran as well, they support those countries. And were critical to Assad's ultimate staying in power. And if you defeat Russia, that would drastically change the balance of power in the Middle East. But you have to ask why should this matter to Russia? There's no evidence that Putin is really anti-Jewish or anti-Israel. Why is he making those alliances? And I suspect that Putin sees the Middle East in the same way he sees Europe, as part of this further encirclement of Russia by Western-dominated governments. In other words, recall these neocons want regime change in Iran, and they certainly wanted it in Syria, and they promoted it. So they were very enthusiastic about regime change. And famously, John Bolton, Trump administration, was pushing that. He was Sheldon Adelson's boy. Trump refused, and then Bolton quit, and it was a big snafu and all that. But that was a critical thing, and so I think that what is going on in Asia is something that Trump is thinking about. I mean, Putin is thinking about. And you think about Kazakhstan. Ukraine is not the only place where we've had a color revolution. They've tried it in Kazakhstan, and they haven't gotten there. But again, it's one of these neocon-inspired color revolutions where you bring out the people in the big cities and pretend that the government is not popular and all that. And so that has been quelled, but it's something that the neocon map of Asia. You've got Kazakhstan is a big landmass in the south of Russia, and then you've got Iran and Syria and those countries. Now, what the neocons really want is to totally surround Russia. That they want Kazakhstan, they want Iran with a new government, they want Syria, they want Assad out of there, and Ukraine. You got a large country anyway, right on the border of Russia, armed to the teeth. And this is what they want. And so it's very understandable that Putin is doing this. This is a reaction. This is the West's fault. And it should never have happened. What Mearsheimer is suggesting is that you just make Ukraine a neutral state.
Kevin,
take it out. Don't of NATO and that kind of thing.
I actually have saved about a 60 or 90 second clip of John Mearsheimer, and we're going to play that at the top of the next segment, and it is going to perfectly tie into, of course, what you're saying, and it's going to bring all this into sharp focus. Keith Alexander, a comment or a reaction to what you've heard from Kevin, perhaps a question for Kevin before we go to our next break.
Well, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Belarus, all of these places, these kind of not widely known places in places like America and England, were Soviet socialist republics, part of the USSR. And in 1991, when the Soviet Union dissolved, Gorbachev was promised by American negotiators that they would not expand NATO into former Warsaw Pact nations. And
exactly.
They obviously lied. They just did that. And you were talking about, the situation with Israel and whatnot. I have a bigger question. Yeah, I think it's part of the Jewish DNA to blame and dislike Russia. Why is the United States so focused on Russia, which isn't one-tenth of the threat that China is? And I think it's because of Jewish power and influence. For example, Jewish power and influence hated Tsarist Russia, but then they loved the Soviet Union because the Soviet Union was being run by Jewish Bolsheviks. Now that the Soviet Union day is done, and it's we have a new government under Putin, it's now okay to hate Russia again, and particularly, as you said, because of Syria, you know, because he intervened in one of those wars that Wolfowitz and Podhoretz and people like this were cheerleading for. They wanted to have that regime change throughout the Middle East, all Arab countries, regardless of whether they're considered friendly or not, like Egypt. Well, they couldn't crack the nut on Syria, and it's the first time they couldn't do it. And they don't like being frustrated in their design. So, you know, I have real empathy with the Ukrainian people, but the Ukrainian people and Ukraine are being used by the West, and particularly by the United States, and particularly by Jewish power and influence within the United States government, to as a stick to beat Russia with.
Hold on right there. Opinion. Keith and Kevin, we have to take a break. We've got Kevin for another half hour. We are going to revisit the point that Keith just made and have Kevin respond to them. And in fact, it ties into a question we've received for Kevin from a listener in the audience. But first, we'll hear from John Mersheimer, and you'll hear from that. You'll hear that clip next.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Russia is continuing its advance into Ukraine. The speed of the Russian advance has slowed because of strong Ukrainian resistance. Around 150,000 Russian forces are now fighting in the country. The Kremlin said that President Putin had ordered a pause on Friday, but decided to resume because Ukraine rejected talks. The Ukrainian news outlet reported that a bridge was blown up on the Kyiv-Zhytomyr highway, killing one child and injuring four people. Also, at least six people were injured when Russian rocket fire hit a high-rise building in Kyiv. Since Russian forces invaded Ukraine on Thursday, 198 civilians have been killed, including three children, and over 1,000 civilians have been injured. Ukrainian President Zelensky said he has no plans on the army backing down, despite fake information online. This is USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15, decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
The CDC is announcing it's loosening mask guidelines for U.S. residents, allowing most people to leave their coverings behind in indoor public locations. The new recommendations uses new metrics that place less emphasis on case counts and give more weight to hospitalizations as a key measure of risk, according to Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director. CDC officials said the agency will continue to recommend that high-risk people wear masks for their own health and that people who are sick with COVID-19 should wear a mask regardless of whether they're in a low-risk area. Jurors in the trial of former police detective Brian Hankinson visited the apartment where Breonna Taylor was shot dead in March of 2020. Hankinson is on trial for 3 counts of wanton endangerment. He fired 10 shots into Taylor's apartment, 3 of which entered an adjacent unit where a pregnant woman and her 5-year-old son were sleeping. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody. We are continuing the conversation tonight on what's taking place in Russia and Ukraine with Dr. Kevin McDonald. Be sure to check him out and to support him at theoccidentalobserver.net. He is a man among men. That is Dr. Kevin McDonald. So, Kevin, we want to get back to Keith Alexander's points, but you were mentioning the comments and the predictions of John Mearsheimer. Now, John Mearsheimer, if people did not know, is a legendary American political scientist, and he predicted exactly what will happen in Ukraine, or exactly what did happen in Ukraine. Yep. He predicted it in 2015. This was 7 years ago. Here's what he said.
But I actually think that what's going on here is that the West is leading Ukraine down the primrose path. And the end result is that Ukraine is going to get wrecked. And I believe that the policy that I'm advocating, which is neutralizing Ukraine and then building it up economically and getting it out of the competition between Russia on one side and NATO on the other side, is the best thing that could happen to the Ukrainians. What we're doing is encouraging the Ukrainians to play tough with the Russians. We're encouraging the Ukrainians to think that they will ultimately become part of the West, because we will ultimately defeat Putin, and we will ultimately get our way. Time is on our side. And of course, the Ukrainians are playing along with this, and the Ukrainians are almost completely unwilling to compromise with the Russians, and instead want to pursue a hardline policy. Well, as I said to you before, if they do that, the end result is that their country is going to be wrecked. And what we're doing is, in effect, encouraging that outcome. I think it would make much more sense for us to work to create a neutral Ukraine. It would be in our interest to bury this crisis as quickly as possible. It certainly would be in Russia's interest to do so. And most importantly, it would be in Ukraine's interest to put an end to the crisis.
That is incredibly prescient. Incredibly prescient for something that was said 7 years ago in light of what's happening right now. Yeah. So, Kevin, you could take that in any which way you would like. Also, Keith's comments and this question from a listener: what role are the Jews playing in this war?
Yeah, well, regarding, first of all, Mearsheimer, one point to make, obviously, is that this is extremely cynical on the part of the West. I mean, it's our right to stand up to the Russians, and they don't have the ability militarily to go to Russia. And so their country's now being destroyed. People are dying. It's sad as can be, but ultimately the responsibility, as Mearsheimer emphasizes, is on the West. But the Ukrainians have been feckless in this. I mean, to go along with this. Although I've always wondered to what extent Washington has pressured Ukraine to take a hard line, because these neocons.
Well, you pointed out, by the way, Dr. McDonald, you had pointed out that the United States foreign policy apparatus had staged this color revolution, which resulted in the deposing or the election out of a pro-Russian president, right, with this Jewish entertainer, Zelensky, who is now their president. And it just seems like that type of meddling in other people's foreign policy, that's exactly what the Democrats were accusing the Russians of doing in the 2016 election and the 2020 election. But it seems like they don't do it nearly as much as the United States does.
Absolutely. And the key person there is this Victoria Nuland. She is a neocon. She's married to Robert Kagan. She's Jewish. And she's in the State Department now. She was also there during the Obama administration when the Maidan color revolution happened. She's the Undersecretary of State of Political Affairs in the Biden State Department. And so without any doubt in the in this crisis right now, I should say that people are waking up to this. I noticed that Tucker Carlson last night, he mentioned Victoria Nuland, and he had a guest on there, Pedro Game Chronicle, that he mentioned Victoria Nuland. People are sort of aware that this is a neocon operation, just like the 2014 color revolution was. And this is a big part. This is really what's going on here. It's the neocon, but that's really the entire U.S. establishment. Because the neocons are both sides of this. I mean,
what's happening, too, is that
the Biden administration. But then, in the Trump, when you have Republicans, they have a different set of people. You know, they've had Pearl and Wolfowitz and all those guys. But then you also have the Democrat branch.
But it doesn't seem to change the foreign policy, and the Ukrainians are being played. I think this is a neocon con job, coin a phrase.
Yeah.
And I know some people in Ukraine, and they are terrified of this war. They were hoping that it wasn't going to happen.
Who wouldn't? Well,
gentlemen.
And it seems like it was engineered, and it's they wouldn't even negotiate in good faith with Putin. Putin said that he didn't, just like in the Cuban Missile Crisis back in John Kennedy's administration, we didn't want an enemy power putting nuclear things on our nuclear missiles on this next door neighbor. Well, neither does Putin. But you don't hear any of that in the media over here. It's just, my country right or wrong, and we need to all knuckle down and beat those bad Russians. Well, the Russians are not the bad guys in this. The United States is the one that got the pot boiling on this.
Interestingly, when they were the bad guys, we sided with them. When they were the bad guys, we loved them. But when they're not, they're the bad guys. All right, Kevin, to you.
Yeah, and to Keith's earlier point about Russia and Jewish dislike for Russia, I think it really is true. And, after the Soviet Union fell in 1991, the people who really took over Russia were these Jewish oligarchs. Almost all of them, 6 out of 7, were Jewish, and they were deeply involved in politics. And their man was Yeltsin. He was in there for 10 years. And Putin was, I believe, horrified at what he was seeing. In 2000, I guess, he got rid of some of the prominent neocons, oligarchs, who were involved in politics. Ordakovsky put him in prison, and then they exiled him. And a bunch of other ones. I think Putin's view is that oligarchs, I don't think he's saying he's Jewish really at all, but he's anti-oligarchs trying to run the country via owning the media. And that is the problem that he saw.
And where have we seen that before? That's the United States.
What's that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what they use for us in the civil rights movement and everything else.
Exactly. That's the position we're in. The media, the educational system are controlled by these people. It hardly matters if we have an election in a way, because things don't change much. Republican, Democrats, and all that. I think Trump is a real breath of fresh air, but we all know what happened to him. And that's the picture here, that there's this hatred towards Russia. Resulting from they really had Russia in the grasp, it slipped out of their grasp, and they want it back. And so what they're doing they are also trying from within. But I believe Putin has banned some of these NGOs, like the National Endowment for Democracy, is this neocon, Carl Jewish, the Democrats, but they have a Democrat branch and a Republican branch, because they want to be on both sides of the aisle. And these guys are pushing for
war. I mean, they are the in the they go over to these Eastern European countries. They set up LGBTQ stuff. They infiltrate the media and all that if you let them. But that's the thing. You know,
yeah, and one nation that has any sense wants to join a group that wants to promote transgenderism and LGBTQ rights and stuff like this. You know, and that's what they mean by spreading democracy. What George Bush meant
exactly
is basically spreading this liberal poison.
Yeah, this Western values are, you know, gay pride parades doing absolutely outrageous things, and these countries don't want that. But this is what the West wants to inflict. This is globalism. This is what the absolute globalist agenda that is going on here.
Got to take a quick break. And to your point, gentlemen, this is what Vladimir Putin himself said. He slammed the monstrous, quote unquote, monstrous West for teaching children they can change their gender, saying it is, quote, close to a crime against humanity, end quote. Well, hey, I got more in common with him on that comment than I have on anything I've ever heard Biden say. I can tell you that. We'll be right back.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right. One more segment with Kevin McDonald. My goodness, is this program not going by quickly tonight? Almost now 2 hours in the past. You heard from Mark Weber to open things up tonight. Kevin McDonald anchoring the program here in the second hour. Still to close it, though, Paul Fromm up in Canada will get his take on Russia, but not before a parting shot on what's been taking place up there with the Freedom Convoys. Paul's been with us 3 out of the last 4 weeks to report on that. Paul Fromm, Kevin McDonald, Mark Weber, all here tonight on TPEC. A couple of things I want to work through very quickly. I saw this from the Chinese embassy, if you can believe it. Pretty interesting, though. Among the 248 armed conflicts that occurred in 153 regions across the world from 1945 to 2001, 201 of the 248 were initiated by the United States, accounting for 81% of the total number. So when you hear the U.S. system, government, the regime saying how they're for democracy and they're for this, that, and the other, you know it's not true. Phil in Arkansas writes, You can only poke the bear so many times before it retaliates. I blame the United States with the Orange Revolution it released on Ukraine. Let Ukraine join NATO, and it's only a matter of time before the United States will put nuclear weapons on Russia's borders, and Putin knows that. Yes, Phil, you are correct. Kevin, I've got two questions that have come in from audience members for you. If it's possible, if you don't mind me hamstringing you, because I want to give you plenty of time to give a summation here, could we limit the answers to maybe 30 to 60 seconds each, and we want to get back to Keith Alexander as well. There's just very quick answers to these questions. This is from listener Rich, our good friend in Gallatin, Tennessee. What role does the U.S. and the Biden crime family have to do with encouraging Ukrainian intransigence?
Well, I mean, certainly the Biden family has been intimately connected to Ukraine, corruptly. They have gotten millions of dollars from Ukraine, Hunter Biden's shenanigans with the gas company in Ukraine. And that is something that people have noted about this, that could be a motive that Biden has. But again, I just don't. It seems to me Biden is not even all that much in control of his own administration. I think he's barely with us. And I think it's that what's happened is that Victoria Nuland and these neocon activists are really running the show here on this, and are sort of pulling the where it's going. It's interesting that she was also in the Obama administration, and Obama would not arm Ukraine, which is interesting. And then she quit in 2017. And it's pretty clear that she was extremely aggressive about this and wanted and doubtlessly favored arming Ukraine. And that's, of course, what's happened.
Kevin,
and these are based on things like, these historic grudges. I think the Jews are like they said of the Bourbon dynasty. They learned nothing from history, but have forgotten nothing. And they
that's a good point. Here's something for you, Kevin. This is something that you retweeted, and this is United States Representative Adam Schiff. Don't take John Mearsheimer's word for it, ladies and gentlemen. As we played for you in the last segment, just take a listen to a sitting member of Congress.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
Okay, now that's interesting, God. Is it not? I mean, my goodness.
I mean, how many times have we heard that old canard?
Well, but here's the thing. If you look at the American media or the system media, and this is a guy, you can't quote Sam Dixon enough. I think we quote him every show. He came up with the term system media. But the system media certainly makes it out. They're making it out this week to be, hey, if you have any nuance, and we brought this up with Mark Weber in the first hour, if you have a nuanced discussion, an objective discussion about this issue, this geopolitical reality that we're facing here now, you're a traitor. You're an enemy of the state because Putin is bad and Ukraine is good, and that's all there is to it, and it's just that black and white. But my God, you hear Adam Schiff here, a member of Congress, saying, how can you not see if you're at all honest?
Adam Schiff is another member of the tribe, too.
At all honest, how can you not see Putin's side of view on this, Kevin?
Yeah, and you're called a Putin puppet and a traitor and all that stuff. So this is just par for the course now. The mainstream media, including Fox News, by the way, except for Tucker Carlson, has been very – well, I can't say go along with all of it. He doesn't talk about a lot of stuff we've been talking about. But certainly most of the conservatives and all the people on the left are entirely gung-ho. So there's this – it's a universal unprovoked aggression. You know, these are people, if they say they're unprovoked, they just don't look at history. They don't understand what's been going on. So,
and look how the liberals have changed, Kevin, over our lifetime. They used to be the peaceniks and whatnot, and they're the war hawks now.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with free speech and all kinds of things. They loved free speech back in the 50s when Jews were being hauled in front of
House Un-American Activities Committee.
Oh, they hate increase because they have power.
Yep. It's like Vilfredo Pareto's famous comment, the Italian socialist in the 19th century. He said, when I am weak, I ask for equality and justice from you because those are your principles. When I am strong, I deny equality and justice to you because that is my principle.
Exactly. What's going on here? When they're in power, it's like they're totally self-interested. They have no proof. But, you know, and I was listening to a talk today that Victoria Nuland gave in early 2014. And you should see it. She was flowing with, we love democracy and Korean people and these, but you know, it's like full of this high-flown rhetoric. Guys, and we're saving the Ukrainian people, Russian influence, and you know, but when push comes to shove, the people on the left, we know that's so obvious now. They have, and that's why, you know, further, I worry about gulags in this country. They when they get in power, you can't, the Constitution, the rule of law means nothing. And we'll see what happens.
Well, speaking about what will happen, Kevin, I asked Mark Weber this question at the end of the first hour. Where do you see this going? What do you think will happen? Is it going to be where Ukraine ends up being sort of a neutral state like Finland, or is this going to be World War III?
Well, I wish we had. It would turn out to be a new that Russia would win it, but that Russia would win this conflict here. It's hard to tell what's going to happen. I mean, if you turn on the news, they're saying this isn't Russia anticipated. And now they pick Russia out of the SWIFT banking system, and they're being pretty tough. Still think Russia is going to prevent, because they, you know, they will continue to do what they have to do. And if they have to destroy, they will destroy it. They've already shown an awful lot of that.
Well, I don't think that Putin wants to harm the Ukrainians, really. I think he sees them as fellow Russians, basically. But, you know, the Ukrainian people are being played and manipulated by the American foreign policy establishment. And they want them to go into like guerrilla warfare and whatnot and have some bloody protracted war like they had in Afghanistan.
Yeah. You've got to wonder about this Zelensky guy. He is Jewish. And you wonder if he's sort of on board with the whole globalist thing and, you know, really hates Russia. It's the same reason he's neocon.
You know, but this is one thing.
Part of it.
Go ahead, Kevin, and take the final word on this. We're coming up on just a couple of minutes remaining. I was going to say there's so much propaganda. I mean, more than you would even expect, certainly more than we've had at any other major conflict. You see pictures being repurposed from years ago. You're seeing pictures where Zelensky was out sort of inspecting the border last year. Now they're saying he's out on the front lines fighting for his people. I mean, it's just all so fake. I mean, it's beyond parody now. So you might want to comment on that. But above and beyond that, with about a minute remaining, I want to thank you and Keith for contributing so much to this conversation this hour. But the final word is yours, any way you want to take it.
Well, some propaganda and media in this country in the West is certainly appropriate. I mean, that's what we're getting now. And if you look on Twitter, there's a lot of things that they may well be fake. You don't even know. You see a picture of a war. Was that really in Ukraine? They talk about the Taliban. You can't trust any of those things. It's just like, you know, pure, you just have to be extremely skeptical. To be sure of anything until there's a definitive result. But, you know, it's just like with the Iraq war. The media pumped it. The New York Times, you know, was leading the charge on weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, the media is doing the same thing now. Look at all the big newspapers. The LA Times has written at Washington Post. They're entirely in favor of this, and they frame it as unprovoked. Again, you can't say it was a war unless you
unless you don't know anything about what's been going on the last 30 years.
They say, when can you tell when the media and the foreign policy of relations establishment are lying? And the answer is when their lips are moving.
Exactly.
Tried and true, Keith. Well, listen, we'll talk to you again next week, Keith. And Kevin, your next appearance is never too far away. And we thank you for being such a regular guest and such a mainstay of truth. And support his work, ladies and gentlemen, at theoccidentalobserver.net. Subscribe to The Occidental Quarterly at toqonline.com. Kevin MacDonald, always at the tip of the spear of everything that we hold dear. Kevin MacDonald, a national treasure. Thank you, my friends, and we'll be back with Paul Fromm for the third and final hour.